Fathers were an important part of our lives. I kept thinking about, there was a show years ago called Good Men, Bad Men. But I thought about good dads and bad dads. I don't know most of your fathers. I met a couple of fathers in this church so far. My father's a good father. I had a pretty good father. And I mean, my dad, our relationship has changed over the years. He's got to the point to where he's apologized for some things, which I think we both needed, and there's closure. Some of you don't have that opportunity. Maybe your dad has gone away, or your dad left you. So I don't really know where you're at with your fathers. Some of you might have had good fathers, and some of you might have had really bad fathers. In the Bible, there's a guy named Eli. Now, Eli was a good priest. As a matter of fact, he was a high priest, which means he was one of the heads of a city or a temple. He was the head priest in a tabernacle. And he's the one, if you remember the story of Hannah, that when Samuel was in the temple, that he kept hearing God's voice. And Samuel thought it was Eli, and he said, "Yeah, did you call me?" He said, go back to bed, Samuel. And Samuel would go back to bed, and then Samuel would hear again his name. He would, Samuel. So he'd say, "Yes, priest, go back to bed." And all of a sudden, Eli realizes that's God talking. So he tells Samuel to go back to bed, and when you hear God say your name again, say, "Speak, my Lord." So that's it. He was a good priest, but he was a bad father. Now, he was a descendant of Aaron, so he had that lineage. He served as a judge for over 40 years, high priest of Shiloh, which was one of the main cities, and he was a mentor to Samuel, so he was good in a lot of ways. Yeah, he was really not a good father. Now, he never beat his kids. He never humiliated his kids. He had two kids, Hophni and Phinehas. Now, he should be a bad dad just for naming him those names. But what he did was not discipline his kids. Now, that sounds pretty good to some kids. But they turned out to be really bad. As a matter of fact, they were like the worst PKs in the Bible. Not PK, but worst preacher's kids in the Bible. I mean, they were horrendous. Let me show you what the scripture says. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord. So the sin of those young men was very serious in the Lord's sight, for they treated the Lord's offerings with contempt." So they were scoundrels in God's sight. So the fact that he didn't chastise them, now he knew what was going on. He was at the temple. And the only reference it says is when they were older, he said, "Why are you doing this?" That's all he really said to his kids. So to me, that could be a bad dad as well. You know that God is a God of love completely. But he also chastens those he loves. And we don't like to hear that, because the word chasten is discipline. So sometimes we are very much focusing on the love of God here, which we always will do. But there are times in our life when God's going to say, "Hey, wait a minute, I can't let you do this. Because I know you're going to mess things up in your life." He chastens those he loves. We don't really like to go there, but he will for our protection because he's a good father. I had someone leave the church over this issue, not that issue, but this issue, because I talked about the fact that he will discipline us. And you know what? Sometimes that doesn't feel very good when you're going through it. But when you get to the other side, you're like, okay, I get it. So a good father also loves, but also disciplines, and also has some rules to follow. Yeah, he does. There are certain things, spiritual principles that you need to follow in order to really get God's anointing and blessing. It just happens. Now, I'm not saying it's because of those things, What I'm saying is you inhibit his hand often by decisions in your life. Perfect example. Let's talk about relationships. You know, most of you come praying for the partner first, and then once you get them, you pray for the partner after. I'm going through a miserable time in my life. That's true. Oh, I'm so lonely. Give me a partner. And then, oh, praise God, I got the partner. Oh, 6 months later, oh, Pastor Keith, please pray for us. And you know what? We pray for you, but he's your high priest. And that was something I was thinking of today. Jesus is the high priest. We're just all his kids. So you don't need to go through me or Pastor Deb or Pastor Jonathan. You need to go to God. And there are some times that God has told me not to respond to someone because they need to go to God. Believe me, he has said that several times. You don't need me. You need him. Oh, I'll say that again. You don't need me, but you do need him. Last week, Christopher Coleman preached an incredible, preached a great message, but what he did after, I will never forget. And I remember, you did too, you grab your phone. I remember God said, grab your phone. As soon as he started, I grabbed my phone and I videotaped him, and he danced. He came out of his wheelchair here, and he danced to the song about Mary's with the alabaster box. The most amazing thing I think I've ever seen in my life. Everyone here was crying. So I put it on Facebook. 25,000 people have liked that video. And I have 25 people who have shared that video in straight churches, gay churches, every kind of church. Because I had people saying, tell us about your church. Karen Egan, if you know who Karen Egan is, but she's a friend of mine, so I put in mind, she wrote Thou Art Worthy, Great Jehovah, a song years and years ago from CFNI, Christ for the Nations. She shared it on her page, so all these people have come from there. Churches in Birmingham have said what a blessing it is. All I'm saying is, and I remember him saying, somebody had talked about not thinking about what you're doing or being embarrassed. I forgot who had said something. It might have been something you did in worship, and he said, I know I'm supposed to do this because of what you said. And not worrying about what people thought has blessed so many people. We get in our own way sometimes. But you know what? He really lives by principles of God. Christopher is one of the most amazing people I know. And when it comes to relationships, he said he knows he'll eventually find the right person. But he's not going to settle for someone who's not a Christian. When you do that, you're opening yourself up to some discipline. Bottom line, it's a decision that's made. Saying, it's like kind of like when a child is going to touch a stove. Don't do that. You're going to get burned. That's the discipline. I'm not saying he's going to beat you and chain you up or take a belt. But he's going to say, don't. But you have a choice saying, I'm still going to do it or not. And when you do, you begin to suffer consequences. That's what I'm talking about, some discipline parts. But it's for our own good. I mean, who wants to let their child? Would you let Dimitri touch a hot stove? You would probably do anything in your power to get him not to do that if it means physically taking him and moving him or removing him from that area. So that's what we're talking about, the chasing of the Lord. So that's a bad father who doesn't discipline. And then the good father. Now, some of you have the concept of God as untouchable. Not the Elliot Ness untouchables, but the untouchable. God is this great God in the heavens. He's way up there and he created everything, but I can't get to him. That's one thought of God. The enforcer that is there, and every single thing you do wrong, he's going to knock you for it. He doesn't do that either. Do you know that he really may not like the things you do, but he loves you to pieces? I mean, he loves you more than you could even comprehend. Even when he doesn't like some of the stuff we do. Sometimes I think he's rolls eyes saying, Keith, really? You're getting so upset about something so crazy. I mean, for me, it's the small things. I can go through the big things easy, but the little bitty things. There's a scripture verse that says the little foxes spoil the vines. And it's those little bitty things in my life that will just irritate me, that just get me. The big ones, man, it's like, wow. No, but this little bitty things. So I'm going through something right now, and it's been weighing me down. And it's a little bitty thing. And this in the shower, I'm like, God, this is a little bitty thing. He's like, so why are you spending so much time worrying about it? I said, because it's big to me. And his words were so loving. Get over it. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, really. You have wasted days thinking about this. And it's a little thing. That was it? I'm like, okay. Yeah. So the enforcer, you might know God as a Savior, but I don't really know Him as your Father. Now, we have to let God reparent us in the right image. We've talked about that before. But I wanted to show you, in my opinion, a great video of a good father.
Philip, I want to tell you a story. And like all good stories, it starts like this. Once upon a time, there was a father. And in case you can't figure that out, that's me. This father had a wonderful little boy. He was very happy. But then one day he found out that his wife was going to have a little baby. So I prayed, Lord, if it's your will, give me a little girl. And he did. I was the first person to hold her in my arms. And I looked at her and I said, Lord, make her like her mother. And he did. She was loving and giving and so good and so kind. But then I realized I was getting left out. So I said, Lord, make her like me. And he did. She can drive a truck and a tractor. She can load hay and strip tobacco. Do you realize what you're getting? But at the same time, she was opinionated, emotional, and hard-headed. So I said, Lord, that's enough of that. Make her like you. And he did. He gave her a desire to serve people. She loves people. She gave her life to be a nurse. She's brought people back from the dead. She's held the hand of people and breathed their last breath. He gave her a heart for missions, and she's trekked all over the world, pushed canoes up swollen rivers, and laid on the floor while bullets whizzed outside so she could tell people about Jesus. But still, something was missing. So I said, Lord, make her happy. See that look on her face? I never saw that until she met you. And I'm grateful for that. Today I'm giving you the best thing I had to give. And I just wanted you to know before I do that how hard me and God's worked to get her ready for you. So, Philip, as I give her to you, I don't think you'll mind if I give you one little word of advice. Me and God's worked hard. Don't screw it up.
I mean, that's a good dad. And how can you go on with a wedding after that, right? But that's a good father. That's a good earthly father. Now, God gave the best thing He had for us. He worked His whole life for 33 years on this little boy named Jesus. And He gave up that little boy because of you, because of me. Good father, the eagle father, I've spoken about the eagle father before. That's the one that helps build the nest. Do you know an eagle's nest is built on three sticks? They always start with three. I think that's a pretty amazing concept. Kind of like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the base. And they build it. And then I've talked about it where they put the thorns. They put thorns inside the nest and cover them with fur so that when the baby's young, he leans against the fur. And he's like, oh, this is so comfy. But when it's time for him to stand on his own two feet, they remove those furs and begins to poke the babies so that they strengthen their own feet. When they're going through that process, and when you're going through that process, you may not think your father's really good, but he knows what you need, and you need to strengthen those feet. He watches from above when you're trying to learn to fly. It actually talks about this, that the mother's the one that will push the baby out the nest, and the father doesn't, those mothers, no, they actually have a hard time. They're usually the coddling ones. They let him out, but that father is perched somewhere where the baby really doesn't know. And as the baby begins to try to fly, if he's having a lot of trouble and begins to really fall too rapidly, the eagle actually flies and catches the baby on the back of his wings. Deuteronomy 32:11 says, God, he is like an eagle hovering over its nest, overshadowing its young, then spreading its wings, lifting them high into the air, teaching them to fly. So he's there through all of that. I've coined that term, you can't fall faster than your father can fly. That's a good father. Now, God and Jesus came for one thing. He came to really reveal the heart of the Father. He came to really reveal who God was, the Father. You see, when God created the earth in Genesis 1, he was Elohim, which means creator. You know, there's always different names of God as you go through the Bible. And I love studying the names of God. And Elohim was the first, the creator God. And the names are added every time there's more revelation that comes about God. The next revelation came with Yahweh when Abraham had a covenant with God. Because Yahweh means covenant keeper. So all of a sudden, God is seen not as just the creator, he's seen as the covenant keeper. And then El Shaddai. This was the first time that term for God was used when Abraham, now think about this, he was 99 years old, and God said, you're going to have a son. Just saying, that's pretty almighty at that point. And Sarah was the same age as him, so that's pretty almighty. But he said, I am not the mighty God, the El Shaddai, the almighty God. And Abraham saw him in that way. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus really gives us a picture of God. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So Jesus is now saying, my whole purpose is to let you understand he's not just Elohim, because these are Jews. He's not just El Shaddai. He's not just Yahweh. He's your Father. And then he taught them to pray the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. So it's all about him letting them understand he's a good God. But then my favorite verse that gives us the most intimate revelation comes from Paul. And it says, the spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves. Otherwise, you would live in fear again. Instead, the Holy Spirit you received made you God's adopted child. By the Spirit, we call God Abba, Father. You see the progress? From a creator to Abba, Father, which means Papa or Daddy. Now, I am Papa to Barnum and Bailey. Ed's Daddy, but I'm Papa. And Papa, we were singing this song earlier today, when it said, we always don't know what I would say, and heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, or, I know you always back up, or unforeseen kiss. And Christina Batten actually was there when they actually wrote that song, and she told us that it was written as a sloppy wet kiss. Doesn't mean the other's wrong. But I like unforeseen as well. And I'll tell you why, because sometimes when I'm at home working, Barnum is always, and Ed can tell you, he's always wants to be next to somebody. So his little bed is right there. And he'll be sleeping, And I'll just go up to him and give him a kiss on his head. And he's like, oh, Papa. And his little tag wails, that's that unforeseen kiss. Do you ever get that from God? I mean, I won't even really be concentrating much, and I'll just feel him. Just, oh, yeah, thank you, God. That kiss. That's that Papa relationship. I don't say, oh, fathereth, protecteth me, as guideth me, as I driveth to the churcheth, and open the dooreth in my life. Sometimes I say, Daddy, help me. Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I love you. Daddy, give me wisdom. That's Abba, Father. That's the heart of your Father. That who is who broke down every wall for you. That's whose arms are open wide for you. That's who died for you. Abba, Daddy, Father. So today, I want you to really let God reshape your concept of Him. He's no longer the enforcer. He's no longer the distant God, just the Creator. Let Him be Daddy. I mean, the one that you can just crawl up and lay your head on His lap. That term was only used in a few verses, and that's one of the verses, and it was used specifically so that they could understand He's not just a father figure. He is your Papa. Let Him come kiss you on the head. But that's really the concept of who God is. So today, I hope you really understand He may be disciplining you, and that's a good thing. Let Him do that. He may also be kissing you on the forehead. And you know what? He often does it at the same time. I heard, I think it was Joel Osteen said something about a little dog that they had gotten, and it was a rescue. And every time Joel came in the room, the dog was scared. He would cower and he would run. But that Victoria, his wife, the dog would run to her. And he said, you know, first he said, you know, I'm not that, you know, he's trying to be as nice as he can be. So, you know, Joel Osteen's not, you know, he's, and all of a sudden he said, I realized he was probably abused by male. So it's very hard for him to get used to that. But after time, he felt safer. So you may have been abused by a male figure in your life. And it's hard for you when I say father for you to equate that. Whatever you need to do to change that concept, let God do that. Because He wants to change that image in your head of who He really is. He's not just a father. He's your daddy. And you're the apple of His eye. And He would do anything He can for you. That's His heart. You would do anything you can for your daughter. And you have. You've done a lot for her. But that's a daddy's heart. Amen. So, Father, I thank You for Your revelation in our life, the good dad and the bad dad. I thank You for Your continued favor in our lives. I thank You for those of us who are blessed with good parents. I do pray specifically for those who have lost their parents, that just would like to just one more time be with their parents. That, Father, You would just really touch them in a special way today, that they would just feel Your arms around them, the daddy holding them. I thank You for that, Father. Those who might have been abandoned by fathers, pray that You just hold and comfort and touch on this special day. Even for fathers who may not understand their kids, I pray for their hearts, Father, that bond will continue to grow stronger. I thank You. I pray for fathers in this room that they would be better fathers, that You would teach them to be loving fathers and better fathers than they are, because their heart is for their kids, and You're a good father. I thank You, Father. No, I thank You for divinely choosing. Thank You, Father. Now, Daddy, just reveal who You are to us. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.